You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Many of our veterans come home from active military service to find a lack of resources to help them get back settled into civilian life. In fact, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs states that about half of our nation's homeless vets suffer from mental illness or PTSD. Add that to the shortage of housing, as well as livable incomes and a lack of family and social support networks, and sometimes non-transferable military skills, all this puts a lot of veterans at a disadvantage. And then when we look at the Treasure Valley, here's what we know. Of the 833 persons experiencing homelessness in Ada County just last year, 124 were veterans, indicating that Ada County exceeds the national average, with 14% of our homeless population being made up of veterans. Nationally, it's 11%. So in order to combat this issue, the city of Boise is partnering with other community organizations to find a permanent supportive housing solution. Joining me today to talk more about what this looks like is Diana Lacciando, Director of Community Partnerships for the city of Boise, Brady Ellis with the Idaho Housing and Finance Association, and John Randall, a housing resource specialist with the Housing for Homeless Veterans Program. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'd like to just set the stage, if you could. Why do we see such large numbers of veterans ending up homeless?
Well, I think just looking at, for instance, a veteran going from military to civilian life, there's lots of challenges that they can face. Just in that transition alone, if we look at in terms of reestablishing relationships and family roles, to reentering the workforce, to securing housing. And all of these things kind of work together. And if there's a breach in one of these areas, it can affect the other area. There's also, in that transition, the loss of close relationships for the veteran with those he served with in the military, coming to terms with not being able to always relate to people in civilian life that they may have had close relationships with in the past. And those are just kind of some of the examples of
why
that transition, right? And then when you pair that with any kind of physical or emotional trauma experienced, it just everything gets exacerbated.
And so then we come up with this idea of a supportive permanent housing. And explain what supportive permanent housing means. Maybe, Brady, you can talk about that.
Sure. Permanent supportive housing is an approach that provides long-term or unlimited housing or tenancy. But at the same time, it's trying to reduce the barriers that come along with entry into that housing. And then once somebody has been housed in that project, they're provided a variety of supportive services. Might be life skills, financial training, counseling, case management, mental health treatment, and those sorts of services.
Because, John, we do see that a lot of veterans aren't receiving services, even though the VA offers services. In fact, we had Marv Hagedor in the other day, who is the new director for the Division of State Veteran Services. Mm-hmm. And one thing that he said is a lot of times, and he talked about his own experience having served in the military, was that a lot of times veterans don't know where to get those services. Mm-hmm. So they don't, maybe they don't have access to it. Is that also part of the issue?
I think there's some truth to that. I think it's changing, though. I think with coordinated entry now in our community, having a single access of people to go to tell their story once, and then once they're identified as a veteran, being referred to, we have an outreach program through our homeless program. Two social workers who are in the community connected with coordinated entry. And I think that's helping a lot in connecting veterans to services.
So, Diana, when we see these numbers, and the numbers were from 2017, that basically 14% of Ada County's homeless are veterans, is that what started the conversation about how do we help our veterans here in our area find permanent homes?
So we've been working on this issue and really housing and homelessness for a number of years and decades, in fact. And when it comes to particularly supporting homeless veterans, in 2008, the federal government put a big emphasis on infusing communities with these HUD-VASH vouchers to really get people into homes. You know, they served us. We need to really be there for them. And that has worked to a good degree. But what we've seen locally is that because we have such a tight rental market, and I know you've had folks on talking about this, we're at about 2% locally. It's very challenging to get people into housing. They maybe have a poor rental history or a poor credit history, or even just the fact that they have a voucher means that a landlord doesn't have to accept them. So they're competing with everybody else. You know, it could be millennials, it could be seniors who are downsizing, and in this competitive market, it's very tough for them to get into housing. So fortunately, Idaho Housing and Finance Association has done this particular tax credit set aside specifically to put this project together, and we're excited to really jump on board and be able to support that at the City of Boise.
So tell me what this would look like in the City of Boise when we talk about this supportive permanent housing. Physically, what does that look like? Is that finding rental homes? Is that building an apartment unit? I mean, Brady, give us a sense of what that is.
Yeah, so I would compare it to the New Path Community Housing Project that we've had some buzz and news about here recently. Over on Fairview, mm-hmm. right next to the old Red Lion. And so very similar to that project, we would be looking for applications to come in for our tax credit resources. And once we make an award on that, a developer would then take their plans and the project that they've created conceptually and build or construct that project. So it would be single site. The numbers of units is really going to be based on the VA's need, and maybe John can talk about that. But they'll come up with a number of units for individuals and potentially families. Then the VA would make those services available, come on site, and provide services to those that are living in that project.
I'm speaking today with Diana Lacciando with the City of Boise, John Randall with HCHV, and Brady Ellis with IHFA. We are talking about supportive permanent housing for our veterans. And John, this is not like just a one-off. This has been done in other cities, correct?
Correct. There's a national precedence for the HUDVASH program to use a project-based model. Right now, out of our office here through the Boise VA, our vouchers are portable. So a veteran receives a voucher when they qualify for the program, and then they're tasked to go into the community and find a landlord to rent to them with that voucher. And as we were talking about, in such a tight housing market, that becomes increasingly difficult, especially when you look at increased barriers to housing. So in a very competitive housing market, which we're in, you get multiple applicants for each vacancy that comes available. And if someone has a lapse in rental history or issues with their credit, which could just be somebody's in the military, they don't have a rental history, they may affect their credit history while they're in service for multiple years. And then sometimes that can get overlooked, and in a housing market like we're in, can be kind of picked over by somebody with more...
With maybe just a better history or something
like that. Right.
But when we talk about these vouchers, mm-hmm. Do they actually cover the cost of rent? Because, just here in the Treasure Valley, mm-hmm. We've seen prices go through the roof in the last, 18 months.
Right. And that's another issue. The value of the voucher is lagging behind where we are with our current market, especially as we move from the middle end to the high end of the housing market. So... A lot of landlords that may have worked with us in the past are raising rents beyond what the voucher will cover. Veterans who are already vouchered and living in apartments are seeing increases in their portion of their rent. With the voucher, a veteran pays at least 30% of their income toward their housing expense, and then the voucher is a subsidy that covers mm-hmm. the rest.
And this is working in other communities. So, correct. I mean, you have actual data that this is working.
Correct. Yeah. Project-based HUDVASH is, especially like Diana had mentioned, in a market as tight as ours, is very successful.
And as one of the benefits of this, and maybe Brady or Diana, you can talk about this, is that those extending services, and what I mean is the supportive services, mm-hmm. they get other services.
So along with the HUDVASH program, there's the the HUD piece is, and here it's through the Boise City Ada County Housing Authority, is the actual monetary subsidy. Then the VA piece is clinical social worker case management that's attached with every veteran that's in the program. And so on a monthly basis, a weekly basis, depending on need, the case manager is in contact with the veteran to support them in finding housing and then maintaining their housing and connecting them with services in the VA and services in the community to support them kind of holistically in making that possible.
And does the veteran, you know, have to agree to these services if they want this type of housing? How does that aspect of it work?
Yeah, it's part and partial. So it's not just based on financial need. It's based on identified need for case management. So that's something. And we find veterans are really open to that because just that idea of extra support and someone to like walk beside them through a difficult time and getting back on their feet is something that's valued.
Well, when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with my panel and we'll talk more about the permanent supportive housing for veterans, but also the cost of what something like this would look like. And if you have questions for our panel, you can always ask them. You can email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu or find us on Twitter, KBSX915, and ask us questions and we will hopefully get those answered for you. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This half hour, we're focusing our conversation on veterans and the need for more permanent supportive housing for them as they reacclimate to civilian life. Joining me today to further discuss this is Diana Lachiando, Director of Community Partnerships for the City of Boise, Brady Ellis with the Idaho Housing and Finance Association, and John Randall, a housing resource specialist with the Housing for Homeless Veterans Program. And for people who are just joining us, John, maybe you can re-describe what supportive permanent housing is.
Right. So supportive permanent housing right now through the VA is through our HUD-VASH program. And it's a housing first model. So what the philosophy behind this is kind of accepting people where they're at, accepting veterans where they're at, not having conditions on their housing. So if somebody is struggling with mental health issue or substance abuse. In the past, before housing first, the philosophy was to have the person go into treatment and then go into housing. This philosophy looks at it more from kind of a hierarchy of needs, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you want to refer to it that way, where once someone's basic needs are met, then they're in a position to address additional needs.
And a lot of times veterans are dealing with mental illness or PTSD or even not having transferable job skills. Mm-hmm. And then you add on the idea of housing costing so much. Mm-hmm. And earlier in the program, we talked about the fact that in 2017, we know that in Ada County, 14% of our homeless were veterans, and that's higher than the national average. So, Diana, is that one of the reasons why this idea of actually physically building, like basically an apartment complex that gives vets housing, but also those necessary, the necessary support with different services was looked at?
Certainly. When we're exceeding the national average for percentage of homeless veterans, that's not something our community should be happy about. So that's definitely something we looked at. And also just noting with the tightness of our rental market and having experienced that for going on 4 years now. So it's really the right opportunity to create more housing. And we need more housing for people all
for
over
everyone,
the community.
Right.
But this is a particular population that we need housing for, and we have particular resources that we can infuse into this effort. So this is a huge opportunity for our community. We're at the City of Boise very excited to be leaning into this, to make this happen for veterans, and I'm looking forward to moving forward with it.
So tell me about, we've already talked about the idea of it would be similar to the new path when we talk about that in the city of Boise and that housing complex. This is costing, it's a chunk of a price tag, close to $6 million we're talking about, Diana. So where is this money you know, coming from?
Sure. So Idaho Housing and Finance Association is a tremendous partner across the state, and Brady's here can share more about that. But they control the low-income housing tax credit process, and they've done a set-aside. It's actually a statewide set-aside for a veteran's permanent supportive housing development. At the city of Boise, we've really leaned into that, and we are setting aside our own money as well. So $250,000 in general fund, as well as $1 million in some federal funds that we receive to make sure that we can get this done.
And Brady, from IHFA's standpoint, tell me about the type of money you have available to make this happen.
Yeah, so the low-income housing tax credit is a resource that's been mentioned, and we're the administrator of that program here in Idaho. And we just had been noticing some of the challenges and experiences of the veterans that have been expressed. And so we kind of recognized that need and decided that we needed to try and have an impact in that area. I'll just add one quick data point in here. So we've mentioned that, you know, we're higher than the national average in terms of homeless veterans. But that's also, if you look since 2010, the homeless veteran number has decreased, I believe, somewhere around 50%, yet we're still higher than that. So It's certainly something that needs to be very directly addressed here in Idaho. So we felt like we could do that with our low-income housing tax credit program. It's hard to put an exact number on exactly the capital that's generated through that to construct and contribute to this project, but we currently estimate that to be about $4 million. Obviously, with a $5.8 or $6 million estimated cost, there's still a gap there of other funding that needs to be identified, some of which, if a project was to come about here in Boise, the city has already dedicated to that.
So because you do have this gap in the funding, you're waiting to move forward then, all of these community partners, until you have everything funded. Am I correct in that assumption?
Well, you know, a lot of these pieces and parts work in tandem. Mm-hmm. So the city of Boise has a request for proposals out for our portion of funding. IHFA has their process. And simultaneously, I've been working very closely with Brady's colleague at the Home Partnership Foundation, which is a foundation run out of IHFA. And we've been out talking to a local philanthropist. The Laura Moore Cunningham Foundation has committed $100,000 to this effort. And together, Treasure Valley, which is a consortium of businesses led by the Idaho Statesman, They've just announced a matching grant. So they will match dollar for dollar up to $50,000 for community members. And they have just started promoting that through the Statesman and other websites.
So anyone privately who wanted to donate right now,
absolutely,
you can match that.
Absolutely. And, you know, we think that's important. Obviously, we can't finance all of this just by individuals, and there's a lot of big pieces and parts here. But, you know, this is a community that cares about our veterans, and we've shown that in a lot of different ways. But actions also speak louder than words. So this is really an opportunity to put our money where our mouth is and show that we don't want to leave our veterans behind.
I'm speaking with Diana Lacciando, Director of Community Partnerships for the City of Boise, Brady Ellis with the Idaho Housing and Finance Association, and John Randall, a housing resource specialist with the Housing for Homeless Veterans Program. And this came up a little bit earlier about the fact that this is a big project. This is not going to happen tomorrow. Even if you got the funding tomorrow, you have to build this. And a lot of times, veterans are having a hard time finding places to live right now. So how are you working on that as well? I mean, because, John, you made the point that sometimes landlords don't want to deal with these HUD vouchers.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And there are many that do, and I think that's important to note. And a lot of the landlords that do work with the voucher get a lot of benefit from working with the veterans that they work with, just a sense of kind of paying back or serving those that have served our country. Also, you know, a lot of the landlords we work with, even if they just offer a small percentage of the units that they have to work with us, that can go a long way. And so that's something we're always looking for, is more involvement and kind of encouraging property owners, property managers, to have a conversation with us and see what benefits there might be for them as well.
And to understand that the vouchers are legit. I'm because for some landlords may not understand that. I mean, to be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's precedence. It's the vouchers have been, HUDVASH vouchers have been in circulation since 2008. Out of our office here at the Boise VA, we have 185 families or individuals housed through this HUDVASH voucher program. And at any given time, we have about 20 veterans, either for themselves or for them and their families, with a voucher in hand looking for housing.
And they only have, I mean, I know they can reapply, but they only have 120 days to find housing.
Correct.
That's got to be hard right now.
It's very hard. Mm-hmm. And what you see both with these folks as well as really anyone trying to find housing is that they're applying at multiple places and in many cases putting down application fees at multiple places. And those numbers really start to add up. So, you know, you could be spending $200, $300, $400 in application fees with no success.
So right now it's also getting the word out about if you are a landlord and you want to help this cause. One way to do it, John, would be to look into this.
Right, to look into this, contact Boise VA. I'm assuming there's a website that can leave some contact information.
Yeah, we can do that on our website for you.
So we'll do that.
And if this goes through, when would we potentially see this support of permanent housing in the city of Boise?
So our application process closes August 24th, that's when applications would be due, anybody pursuing the low-income housing tax credits. And awards, it varies. I would anticipate having those announced by late October time. You'd probably expect a project to begin construction or breaking ground somewhere around next summer, and then a 12 to 18-month construction period.
And Brady, are there any other places in the state that IHFA is looking at doing this support of permanent housing, or is it just right now in the Treasure Valley?
Well, we did the New Path Community Housing, and that was Boise specific. So we created this as really a statewide set aside for permanent supportive housing for homeless veterans to allow other communities to try and generate some support and potential opportunity for them. I would say that Boise isn't the only one that could potentially compete for that. And I think we found success with this. We certainly recognize that homelessness is an issue that needs to be resolved and that we can help impact. And so I wouldn't say that it's out of question that we wouldn't do this again and either target or do another statewide set aside for some other community opportunity.
And at the city of Boise, you know, we have recognizing this is a statewide set aside, but, you know, with the VA located here in Boise, we do tend to see folks from all over the state. So they might end up in Boise from Blackfoot or Orofino or Ryrie because this is where services are. So we really jumped onto this opportunity because we think it's important. But we want to win. We want to make sure that this comes to Boise. So as I mentioned earlier, there is currently that matching campaign, and you can actually go to the City of Boise website, cityofboise.org, right now, and commit to support this with as little or as much, and your gift will be matched dollar for dollar.
And if you're just joining us today, we've been talking about supportive permanent housing for veterans, and about 11% of vets nationwide are homeless when they get out of the military for numerous reasons. Here in Ada County, we found that in 2017, 14% of our homeless community were veterans. And so one of the big reasons to get this housing project up and off the ground. So if you do want to donate to that project, Diana said you can go to the City of Boise and do that. I want to thank all of you for coming in and talking about this today. It is a necessary conversation to be having about homelessness, but also how we can address it and hopefully alleviate it. So thank you to my guest today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
My guest today, Diana Lacciando, Director of Community Partnerships for the City of Boise, Brady Ellis with the Idaho Housing and Finance Association, and John Randall, a housing resource specialist with the Housing for Homeless Veterans Program. When we come back, we are going to get updated on the fire season. If you are outside probably anywhere right now in the state of Idaho, you know that the air quality is not good. We're going to take a look at where all the fires are and what you need to be aware of. That's coming up next. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and you're listening to Idaho Matters.